Here we are again. This week we're on Faith on Film, and we're talking about Jurassic World, which is a great movie I enjoyed quite a bit. We went and saw it on Friday, which was our anniversary. We only have 16 years, not 46 years like Benny, but we're working on it. And when we came home, the kids were still up with the babysitter, and I said, "Watch out, Mommy, the Velociraptors are getting you." And the kids have never seen these movies, but Cameron puts up these little fingers and starts attacking her, and Logan starts attacking her, and so I had to join in. We all attacked her. It was quite fun. Those are the dinosaurs that really scare her, those Velociraptors. So if you want to scare her on Tuesday, because we're both going to go see it again, talk about the Velociraptors. Now, this sermon kind of developed in a way that I didn't expect as I was putting it together and I was praying through it. The movie is our starting point, but we're really going to go kind of off track from the movie, some of the ways that we could have gone with the movie. The thing that I want us to start with is that humankind generally forgets about God's power and awe. When we remember God's power, however, we then can have assurance that God is in ultimate control of the universe. In the movie, we're dealing with what has already happened in the previous three Jurassic Parks, and humankind has meddled in the genetics of these dinosaurs and has used cloning principles to bring back extinct species, in this case the dinosaur. Not only have we countered God's plan for the world, which included wiping out the dinosaurs for a reason, we're now using our newfound power not to make the world a better place, but in order to make money. And that's kind of the premise of the movie. Now, when we're not making money, generally, we're worried about making money or worried about not making money. And therefore, we forget that ultimately, the person that is going to provide for us, the person that's going to take care of us, the person that's going to give us what we need is who? God. Yet we're still worrying about things. We still worry about where that next paycheck is going to come from. We worry about where this is going to happen, what that's going to happen. And so what I want us to take a look at today is looking at the awesome power of God. And when we look at how awesome and how great and how powerful God is in creation, that can give us assurance that God really does have things under control and that we can trust Him in our worries. So what we're going to do is we're going to read Psalm 104. And Amy has done a great job helping me this week with pictures. And actually, you guys are going to read the psalm for us all. And so all I'm going to do is I'm going to pass the microphone around, and you just read the slide that it's on. If you don't want to read, just pass the microphone to the next person, that's fine. But then we're all going to read this together that way so that we get multiple voices as we read Psalm 104. So just read your slide and then pass the mic down, and if you don't want to do it, just pass the mic to the next person, no big deal. Okay? So Psalm 104.
With all that I have, praise the Lord.
O Lord, my God. How great you are. You are robed with honor and majesty. You are dressed in a robe of light.
You stretch out the starry curtain of the heavens.
You lay out the rafters of your home in the rain clouds. You make the clouds your chariot. You ride upon the wings of the wind.
The winds are your messengers. Flames of fire are your servants.
You placed the world on its foundation so it would never be moved.
You clothed the earth with floods of water, water that covered even the mountains.
At your command, the water fled. At the sound of your thunder, it hurried away.
Mountains rose and valleys sank to the levels you decreed.
Then you set a firm boundary for the seas, so they would never again cover the earth.
You make springs pour water into the ravines, so streams gush down from the mountains.
They provide water for all the animals. The wild donkeys quench their thirst.
The birds nest beside the streams and sing among the branches of the trees.
You send rain on the mountains from your heavenly home. You fill the earth with the fruit of your labor.
You cause grasses to grow for the livestock and the plants for the people to use.
You allow them to produce food from the earth.
Wine that makes them glad, olive oil to soothe their skin.
And bread to give them strength.
The trees of the Lord are well cared for, the cedars of Lebanon that He planted.
There the birds make their nests, and the storks make their home in the cypresses.
High in the mountains live the wild goats.
And the rocks form a refuge for the rocks
He made the moon to mark the seasons and the sun to know when to set.
He sends the darkness and it becomes night, when all the forest animals prowl about.
And the young lions roar for their prey, stalking the food provided by God.
At dawn they slink back into their dens to rest.
The people go off to their work where they labor until evening.
O Lord, what a variety of things you have made. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures.
Here is the ocean, vast and wild, teeming with the life of every kind, both large and small.
See the ship sailing along, and Leviathan, which you made to play in the...
They all depend on you to give them food as they need it.
When you supply it, they gather it.
You open your hand to feed them, and they are richly satisfied.
But you turn away from them. They panic. When you take away their breath, they die and turn again to dust.
When you give them your breath, life is created, and you renew the face of the earth.
May the glory of the Lord continue forever. The Lord takes pleasure in all he has made.
The earth trembles at his glance. The mountains smoke at his touch.
I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will praise my God to my last breath.
May all my thoughts be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord.
Let all sinners vanish from the face of the earth. Let the wicked disappear forever. Let all that I am praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen. So when we think about that passage that we read, what kind of things do you think about God when you hear those things? And think about the passage that you read, the verse or the segment of the verse that you read. What kinds of things bring you comfort from what you read or what you heard people read? What comfort do you find from that psalm? He is awesome, okay? There's a plan. God has everything under control. Circle of life, yeah? Yet, in spite of seeing this stuff, in spite of looking around at nature and seeing that God has a plan, seeing that God is awesome and powerful, we still worry. And we still worry about things like money. There's a new show on CBS called The Briefcase. And the producers of this show give a family in need who's in financial need $100,000 in the briefcase. And then they get to decide whether they're going to keep all of the money or give it all away or keep some and give some to another family in need. And so what they do is that they have 72 hours to do this, and they give them a text message and tells them about the other family. And then they actually get to go to see their house, where the other family lives, their living conditions, things like that. And then they meet the other family and decide how much of the money they're going to give. It's really a terrible show. I mean, it's really manipulative, because it makes you think that if you don't give all of it, you're a bad person, and if you keep some, you're a bad person. And the twist at the end is that both families in need both got the $100,000 briefcase, and they're giving the money to each other. So on the first episode, it worked out really well, because both families decided to give the whole amount to the other family in need, so they both got $100,000. That's the best case scenario. Well, that doesn't happen every time. And then what do you do with that emotion at the end where they just gave us $60,000 and we are keeping $100,000, or, you know, however it works out? And so it really plays on that and plays on our fear of money and how much we depend on money. And so Jesus talks about money quite a bit in Scripture. And in Matthew 6, during the Sermon on the Mount, he says, "No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." We can't serve both God and money. And the reason that we don't have to serve money is because we serve God, and God is the creator of the world. Think back to what you read in your passage of Psalm 104. But if we truly understand and truly believe what we read,
It's going to change how we act. It's going to change how we behave. It's going to change how we think about things in the world. Because if God can take care of all of creation, then He certainly has the power to take care of you and me. Right after Jesus said these words about money, you cannot serve God and money, He goes right into these words about worry. This is Jesus still speaking. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant a harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to Him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Read that last phrase with me. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And now answer that together. No. There's a story about worry that said a pastor had just finished preaching on worry and anxiety and focusing on the futility of it and how we're not to worry, but we're supposed to pray for all things. Following the service, a lady came up to him and a little upset about the sermon and said, "Worrying has always worked for me. Everything I have ever worried about has never happened." There's some humor in that, and some of you are still thinking about it, so we'll give you a minute. But if you live in a state of worry, what are you missing? How can you focus on today and the present moment if you're always worried about what might happen in the future? When you're scared about tomorrow, you cannot enjoy today. Jesus continues in verse 28. "And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, He will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith?" So worry is really about a faith issue. It's, do you believe God in what He says in His Word, that He's going to protect us and care for us and meet our basic needs? Do you look around and see the world that God has created, how intricate it is, how planned out it is, and still worry that something is going to happen that surprises God? God's not surprised by things. He knows all things. God has things under control. Our worrying is not going to change anything about the future. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't plan for the future, but there's a difference between planning for the future and worrying about the future. Becoming so consumed about what might happen or these bad things that might happen that it affects how we live our lives in the here and now. Jesus concludes by saying, "So don't worry about these things," saying, "What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need." Read the last verse with me. "So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today." Some days you can say a hearty amen to that, right? Today's trouble are plenty. But the point of this is that today matters. We aren't supposed to be spending all of our time and all of our energies worrying about what tomorrow is going to bring. Certainly there are going to be hardships. There are going to be struggles. There are going to be times when it's going to be hard to pay the bills. There's going to be times when we may not know where that next paycheck is coming from. But when we look around at nature and see all that God has done, we can rest easy knowing that He has it under control. So when you go out and watch Jurassic World on Tuesday with us, think about a couple of things. First, the question I ask you is, do we have an awe and a respect for nature and what God has created. Look around and see what the Lord has made. The second question is, when we see God's beautiful creation, are we going to use it as He intended it, or are we going to exploit it in order to make money? Which in turn, if we're going to abuse it and ruin it for a money, shows that our real God, the real God that we serve, is money. We don't trust in God's provision. We don't have faith in God's provision. When we say that money is our number one motivator, when we live that like money is our number one motivator, we're simply saying that Jesus is not enough. The people in Jurassic World were focused on making money, and ultimately that cost them dearly. God has called us to serve Him and to trust Him. If we don't trust that He's going to allow things to happen in His time and in His way, then we're just fooling ourselves. God has given us His resume, and we can look outside, look inside, look at your body, see how it functions, look at your friends, your family, beautiful babies that come to church for the first time. God did that. God created that. Yet sometimes we say, well, maybe I can do a better job than God. No, we can't. God loves us and promises to look out for us. He promises to give us a joy unspeakable, even in the midst of despair. We can trust that. And we don't have to worry about tomorrow because God, being outside of time, is already there. There's only one way to find security, one way to find peace, one way to find joy in this life, and that is through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So where are you today on the worry scale? Hopefully next time you worry, you'll bring up these images that we saw and the verses that you read of Psalm 104. And you'll think about, hey, you know what? God takes care of the lions. God takes care of the lilies in the field. God takes care of babies and finding food for His people. God can truly, therefore, take care of me and my situation. Would you pray with me? God, we thank You that You love us. We thank You that You care for us. We thank You that You have given us Your handiwork, Your creation, all around us, God, to show us that You are ultimately in control and that You are the one that we need to be putting our faith and trust in. I pray, Lord, that seeing what You have done for us, and seeing the way that You have made this world, I pray that that will give us encouragement, give us strength, and give us hope that You truly are the God above all gods, whom we will worship as Jesus Christ our Savior. And it's in His name that we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the Donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas, 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.